Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The Word of God is taken from two lessons, the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 49, especially verse 16. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands, and also from John chapter 7. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow streams of living water. That's the word. Dear friends in Christ, recently, Nuala O'Fallon, a writer from Ireland, came out with a New York Times best-selling book entitled, Are You Somebody? Rather interesting book, and she tells the story that in Ireland, she's fairly well-known. Her face has been on television commercials, her picture's in the paper, and her column is in a number of different articles and newspapers around the country. But she says, despite all that, she's not really a star. People have to kind of look at her two or three times to put a name on her. Well, one day she was at a pub having a drink, and there's a group of women across the way, and they kept looking in Nuala's direction. Finally, one of the ladies meandered on over to Nuala, walked up to her, looked at her real closely, and said, excuse me, ma'am, but are you somebody? You see, to be somebody meant to be someone of significance, a celebrity, someone of importance, someone to be reckoned with, and they wanted to know, was she a somebody? Now, it seems to me as if that's a pretty good question, and it seems to me that in one form or another, a lot of people in our world are asking that same kind of question. People all around us want to know, are they somebodies? Are they important? Are they significant? Do they really matter? Do they really count? In the grand scheme of things, is their life important? I think all of us know that as we look around at our world, there is a meaninglessness which shrouds almost every aspect of our life today. We think about cliches that we're bombarded with, which I think are reflective of a culture that can't find any meaning in life. For example, must one not wonder about people willing to wear a commercial trademark on the outside of their shirts or their caps or their shoes to let others know who they really are? And just think of a world in which little kids sing this favorite cartoon song or commercial song. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That's what I really want to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everybody would be in love with me. I mean, folks, think of what it would mean to be a weenie, or for someone to love you as they love a hot dog. Think of a world in which adults would pay millions of dollars to have kids perform this song in commercials, and in which hundreds of millions, even billions of adults, don't have a problem with it. That's our world. If you're willing to be a weenie to be loved, what else would you be willing to do? You see, in this two-dimensional flat world, I think in one way or another, people are longing for a sense of mystery and awe and transcendence and significance that somehow, some way, their life matters. It's to this kind of world that you're all being sent. To proclaim to people that indeed they matter. They matter so much that God has inscribed their names on the palm of his hands. They matter so much that God has sent his only begotten Son to be their Savior and their Lord, to suffer and die their death for the forgiveness of sins. People matter so much that God continually provides for his people by sending them servants, like you, to be there for them, to remind them not how great you are, or how great they are, but how great God is, who has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. People matter so much to God that he has anointed you to go and to proclaim the good news that God has come in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has filled you with the Holy Spirit from baptism, that you can be witnesses of him here in St. Louis, Missouri, the U.S., and the ends of the world. And so in our first lesson for today, the Old Testament lesson, God makes the stirring announcement that he has inscribed their names in the palm of his hands to people suffering through perhaps the lowest point in the entire Old Testament. Israel has been annihilated, its holy city of Jerusalem profaned. Babylonian soldiers met no resistance as they entered the temple's inner sanctum. And this time, God did not rescue his people. Temples desecrated, capital city razed. The Hebrews were shipped in chains to Babylon. As I thought about this text, it suddenly dawned on me that the Hebrews in Babylon, who received this message of Isaiah 49, were agonizing over the very same question all of us ask. Do we matter? Do we matter to God? I mean, this is what it means to be a chosen people? To have our land plowed under, cities razed, women and children murdered, strong men sent into exile? I mean, if this is what it means, who needs it? The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me, the Hebrews cry out during this time. And it's to these people that God makes a vow, a promise. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? God asks rhetorically, though she may forget, I won't forget you. See, I've engraved you in the palm of my hands. At this bleakest moment, God gave a series of promises in direct response to the question tormenting the Hebrews. They're found in Isaiah 42 through 53. They're gorgeous. And they answer the question, do we matter to God? You see, God puts his reputation on the line. He'll answer the Hebrews' bitter complaint, but he'll do so with a great act of boldness and imagination and courage that nobody in the world would have dreamed up, that will test the limits of human credibility and divine humiliation. God agrees to join them on planet Earth to write himself into the pages of history. And so what's he do? He gives them a word. He gives them a promise. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Instead of power and might, he comes in the simplest form possible, a baby born to a virgin. Do we matter? Here on earth for 33 years, God experienced in flesh what it's like to be one of us. And in the stories that he told, in the people whose lives he touched, Jesus answered for all time that vexing question. Jesus said God is like a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep inside the fence to hunt frantically for the one stray. He's like a father who can't stop thinking about that rebellious ingrate of a son. He's like a rich host who throws open the doors of the banquet hall to a menagerie of bag ladies and bums. God loves people not as a race or a species, but just like you and I love them. One at a time, we matter to God. In his social contact, Jesus went out of his way to embrace the unloved and the unworthy, the folks who matter little to the rest of society, but they matter infinitely to God. People with leprosy quarantined outside the city wall, Jesus came up to them and touched them, even as the disciples shrank back in disgust. There's a half-breed woman who had gone through five husbands already, no doubt the center of the town's gossip. Jesus walks up, taps her as his first missionary. Another woman, too full of shame over her embarrassing condition to approach Jesus face to face, sneaks up through the crowd, hoping he wouldn't notice, grabs his robe, but he does notice. And she learned, like so many other nobodies, that you don't easily escape Jesus' gaze. We matter too much. In the gospel lesson for this past Sunday in Pentecost, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus makes an incredible statement, a dramatic statement about himself. The people are watching the priest pour water on the altar. They have their gold pitchers. They go out to the pool of Siloam and pour it on the altar. And as they're pouring that, the people are chanting Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. They're giving thanks to God for his gift of water. They're also remembering the water that flowed from the rock in the Old Testament that delivered them. And in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, he who believes in me, from him shall flow streams of living water. It's from me, Jesus says, that real water, the water of life, the Holy Spirit, flows out. Here in my hands that will be pierced is power and might and awe and mystery and love and transcendence, and most importantly, the forgiveness of sins. Recently, I had the opportunity to read Annie Dillard's wonderful autobiography, where she told of her childhood discovery of the power of fiction. And she says what adults seem to treat as harmless, is a harmless, healthy pastime, Dillard discovered to be rather dynamic. She says this, "I had been driven into nonfiction against my wishes. I wanted to read fiction, but I learned to be cautious about it. When you open a book, the sentimental library posters said, anything can happen. This was so. A book of fiction was a bomb. It was a landmine that you wanted to go off. You wanted it to blow your whole day. Unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of books were duds. They had been rusting out of everyone's way for so long that they no longer worked. There was no way to distinguish the dud from the live mines except to throw yourself at them headlong, one by one." Folks, for all of us in our self-contained, secure, modern existence, our texts are bombs. Mind-blowing, world-shattering, wonderful, absolutely wonderful bombs. And smug people, modern people living in our two-dimensional world, I think in one way or another, yearn for such explosiveness, for God to come into their lives and blow open the closed doors of their minds. It happened at Pentecost, where this earth-shattering, shaking, piercing intrusion of the Holy Spirit took place. The place shook. There was a loud, rushing roar, tongues of fire, and they proclaimed the word of the Lord, and thousands were saved. It happened then. It happens today through the power of the Spirit to all of us who believe and are baptized. And you know what? It's going to keep happening again and again and again through the Spirit of God as His word is preached, proclaimed, and believed. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.